For our scripture reading this morning, will you turn to Genesis chapter 10? Genesis chapter 10. And we read the first and the last verse of that chapter. Genesis 10 and verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. Verse 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations and their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagine to do. Go to, let us go down. There confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. The Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, which means confusion, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Well, we're going to speak about family this morning. The three sons of Noah. Everyone here is descended from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So we're talking about family. It's all in the family, they say. All of us, of course, came from Adam initially. And everybody since has descended as well from Noah. Everybody that's in the world now came through this remarkable man whom God brought safely through the flood. Just three men, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. God divides all humanity into three men, essentially. In Jeremiah chapter 9, he says, let not the wise men glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. That's all there is, folks. That encompasses the whole of humanity. Man's wisdom. The wise of this world. That's one group. And then there's also the powerful of this world. And then there's the rich in this world. That's all in the human family. That's all there is. When the Lord Jesus was crucified, there were three languages written upon the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And it was written in Greek. It was written in Latin. It was written in Hebrew. It was written in the language of human wisdom. The Bible says the Greeks seek after wisdom. But what good is it? As far as God is concerned, it's no good. Because God says the world by its wisdom knew not God. What good is that? So let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. It's not by might, nor by power, saith the Lord, but by my spirit. What is human might? What are human riches? It says in Psalm 49 that no one can by any means give to God a ransom for his brother. You can't buy it. Not God's salvation. So God says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the rich man glory in his riches. He said concerning Israel, I have given thee the power to get wealth. God has blessed them in a material way. But what good is it? You can't buy any favor with God with your money. In fact, the very things that men boast in, their wisdom, their power and their might, instead of being helps, they're positive hindrances to knowing God. The Lord said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Well, there are rich men that are saved, but not many wise men. Not many mighty men. Not many rich men after the flesh are called. It doesn't say not any, but not many. And when you get to heaven, don't expect to see all the great intelligentsias of the world there. They're not going to be there, most of them. Some of them are going to be there, but most will not be. And most of the powerful men, the senators, the presidents, the kings, they're not going to be there. And not many rich, not many wise men after the flesh are called, not many mighty. And so the Bible says, what's the sense of glorying in men's things? What? The Greeks that glory in their wisdom. The mighty men that glory in their might, and the rich men that glory in their riches. In the conclusion of the chapter in 1 Corinthians, Paul's commentary in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 is this. He that glorieth, if you're going to boast, let him glory in the Lord. You remember what the prophet said? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory. You got something to boast in. Glory in this. Boast in this, that he knoweth and understandeth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment of the earth. That's the only one to boast in. You can forget the rest because it accomplishes absolutely nothing. And the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ stands forever as a rebuke to all human pretensions. Well, in Genesis 1:28, it says, God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So God's word concerning the people was scatter. The whole earth is yours. He's put the earth in trust of man. He says, go ahead and occupy it. And these people, contrary to the word of God, he says, let's build us a city here. Let's concentrate things. Forget about that scattering business. Man's idea is the way to be strong is consolidation. God's method is the way to be strong is scattering. That's God's method. Stay put and build, man says. God says, scatter and possess. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we have been put as trustees. You know it says of Cain? He went out from the presence of the Lord. He left the Lord behind. Forget about him. He went out from the presence of the Lord, and he built a city. And man's idea is this. Let's build a city so we'll be dependent on each other, but independent of God, so we can do without God. That's man's idea. And he built a city. And man's heart has not changed from that day to this. Before the flood, God's estimate of man was that they had entirely corrupted their way upon the earth. And this is what he says after the flood. The imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. It hasn't changed a thing. Well, it says, the whole earth, in our chapter here, the whole earth was one language and one speech. We got it all together. One world. That's man's idea. One world, but one world without God. That's his idea. Let's build without God. What are we going to use for building materials? Well, what do you think about using some substitutes? That sounds good. Don't use the real stuff. No sense of that. Use substitutes. And it says, they had brick for stone. They should have been using stone, but they were using brick. Now, brick is something that man puts together. But stone is something that God makes, and God only can produce. With brick, They got all these brick kilns up in North Carolina and Georgia. You know, they take all this mud and dirt, and I don't know that much about making brick, but I know they start out with some dirt and they mix it together and they heat it, and not eat it, but heat it. And a certain temperature, and they make bricks. And then they need to use mortar, but they didn't, what did they use for mortar? They didn't use a real McCoy. They didn't use a thing that really holds anything together. They used slime. And it says it's something that oozes out of the earth. That's the kind of stuff that man builds. Man is of the earth, earthy, and he builds from the earth. He takes no interest in God and what things are above. That's man's world. And in spite of all man's attempts to hold man together, all of his laws, all of his meetings, Clinton is over in Africa now trying to get along with the African people and put up a better relation than that. And that's been going on for years. That doesn't mean a thing, because no matter what man does, he can't get the real stuff that holds people together. He uses brick for stone and slime for mortar. And in spite of all man's laws and all man's treaties, they can't keep men or nations together. They don't work. The Bible says God made man upright, but man sought out many inventions. And all of the things that man has made, they don't bring men together. They separate men. I heard of a story about two Irishmen, and they're looking at a brick building. And one of them says, "You know, Pat, it's the mortar," he says, "that holds the bricks together." He says, "You're wrong there. It's the mortar that keeps the bricks apart." Well, both are true. And the very things that unite men divide men. We are more divided today than we were when I was a boy. When I first came to Miami, we never locked a door. We lock our doors now. We never put walls around the places where we live. I go to visit my son, Danny, and they got a wall around the place. And I have to see a guard to get into the place. So we're more divided than ever. We've got phones. We've got television. We've got radio. And most of us probably don't even know our neighbors two doors down the street from us. We're more united and more divided than we've ever been. I was in North Carolina some years ago. Quite a few years ago. 35 years ago, I guess. First time, at least, I visited Raleigh. And I was admiring all those beautiful old homes with those nice front porches on. I said, "Man, these are pretty." And the fellow was taking me around. He said, "You know, when I was a boy, my mother and dad, they would sit out in the front porch over here. The neighbors, they'd be sitting out in their front porch. And we kids would be out playing in the streets. No skating or something." He said, "Nowadays, they don't build porches on people's homes. Nobody talks to anybody anyway. Everybody just goes in, slams the door. They watch television or something. You know whether the neighbors live or dead, or dies. You could have a robbery next door, a house burning next door. You wouldn't even know it. All men's building attempts, the phones, the computers, all of those things divide us. I pick up the phone. If you want so-and-so, push button number one, push button number two, button number three. Takes me 5 minutes before I can get anybody to talk to. We think we've made progress. We made progress backwards is what we've done. The more things man invents, the more he divides. That car that brought you here to this meeting this morning, that same car may not bring you to this meeting tonight. You've got something else on your mind. Something else that is more important. The same car that brings you to the meeting can take you to the beach. God, man, made man upright. But man sought out many inventions. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great divider of men. On the cross, he divided between the saved and the lost. The dying thief who was saved and the one who was lost. He still divides men. And your eternal destiny is determined by your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a solemn but a true thing. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, the Lord Jesus is the great divider of man. But oh, praise his name. He's the great uniter of man. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. In Christ, there's neither bond nor free. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. For we're all one in Christ Jesus. And you know why? God uses the correct cement. It says that, I'm not quoting it exactly, but it says in Colossians that love is the perfect cement. You know, man's regulations, his fences, his walls, his police, his courts, all those things, they don't accomplish it. But love is the fulfilling of the law. And I'll tell you, when the love of Christ is yours, I experience, it's the love of Christ alone that will constrain you to love one another and to love the world lost in sin. The Lord Jesus said, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you use the correct mortar, as you love one another. All the world's schemes accomplish nothing. Brick for stone. They said, go to. This is what it said. Go to, let us. Everything for me. Let us make us, not make God, or this is all for me. You know, that's man's favorite tune, isn't it? Me. What's in it for me? Not what's in it for thee. Let us build us a city. I don't find any mention of God whatever in this, do you? The Bible says God is not in all man's thoughts. And the first time a city is mentioned in the Bible is the one that Cain said. He went out and built the city. That God made, that somebody said God made the country, but man made the city. Let us build us a city. A tower reaching to heaven. That's what they did. The only way you can reach to heaven is by the ladder which God set up on earth. And that ladder is his Son. There is. Praise God, there is. There is one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. And he can put his hand on the lowliest sinner and put him in touch with heaven. That's a wonderful day. Let us make us a name. Well, why? Lest we be scattered abroad. We don't want to do God's will. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Forget that. We want to stay here and build right here a city for ourselves. And we're going to exclude God and everything in it is me, myself, and God. But thank God, God intervened. The Lord came down and saw it, said, man's construction plans. Let us go down. This is expressed in language to convey, not that God needed to come down to know what was going on here, but it was to convey definite thought to us. Let us go down and there confound their language. That's the thing that's messing them up. You know, men are trying to get one world, one language. And ultimately, there's coming a day when that's going to be true, but not in man's day. Man's never going to come. So the Lord scattered them abroad, it says. You know, the wonderful thing is that what man sought to accomplish here is exactly the thing that God did accomplish at Pentecost. Did you know that? The Bible says that as Peter preached, they said, How do we hear every man in the language in which he was born? Because what God wants men to hear is the gospel. And the gospel has gone into all the world. Ever since our Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven. Let me read you one verse from Acts chapter 17, or a couple verses maybe. Paul is preaching, and he says, God that made the world and all things therein, verse 24, Acts 17, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and is made of one, and the word blood really should be in italics, is made of one, that is, we all descend from Adam. He's made of one all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth and have determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Why did he do that? Why did he scatter them into nations? That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him. Though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move, have our people. That's why God allowed the nations to come to being, because he had man's blessing. He said to Adam, cursed is the ground. But he didn't stop there. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Every act of God is with man's blessing in view. So the Lord scattered them abroad as they left off the build. Now I want to think with you a little bit about God's way of building in contrast to man's way of building. Brick for stone, slime for mortar. What is God going to use? Well, God doesn't use anything but solid stone. In the Old Testament, it was commanded that when they made an altar for the Lord, it could not be made of hewn stone, stone that men had cut. It had to be a stone that had been made by God. Not something that they had chipped away and formed. It said, when you make an altar, it must be of the, you might say, native stone. Not hewn stone, not nothing man's stone. You can't approach God on the basis of what anything you can do. God says it all through his word. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. Horatius Bonar wrote, not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, Lord Jesus, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. So it was made of stone. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion to his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they said, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah, some say you're other one of the prophets, but who do you say? And Peter answers, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said, you hit the nail on the head. Upon this rock, no brick, solid stone, upon this rock, I will build my church. And I'm absolutely sure that Peter had an incident in mind that happened at the conclusion of the Lord's ministry. Many of the Lord's disciples were leaving him, we read, forsaking him. He turned to the 12 and he asked this question, will you also go away? You're going to leave me too. And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And in his epistle he writes, and I'm sure it's a commentary on that experience, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones. Oh, he's not the only living stone. Ye also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. And you know what binds us to it? I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me. Here I knew him. Drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. Bound my heart still closely twined, those ties which not can sever. Well, I'm his and he's mine. Forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender. So wise a counselor in God, so mighty and defender. From him who loved me now so well, what power on earth can sever? Shall life? No. Death? No. Hell? No. I am his. Forever. It is not my love that binds me. It's his love that binds me to it. And Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life shall ever be able to separate me from that beauty. That mortal. He's the solid rock. You know, at Pentecost, God unscrambled the language so he could hear everyone in his own tongue. And he's the living stone. And he doesn't use anything but living stone in the building. We also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. You know, you look at stones. One stone to me looks the same as the other. But you know, there's a difference between stones. If you ever get the opportunity, visit Camp Sunrise in Jordan. They've got a very interesting display of stone there. Now, you look at this stone, it looks exactly like this stone. Don't look different. Just stone is a stone. But you know, the Bible says, the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I don't know if you belong to him or not, but he knows where you belong. He knows those are his. And it says the foundation of God stands sure. There's no uncertainty about it because the Lord knows them that are his. I remember as a young boy, I guess I was older than that. But anyway, I remember when I heard Owen Offman for the first time. He used to go around the country and he used to display these rocks. And you know, look at them, it looked like a plain rock. But you know when he put that ultraviolet light? Light, those things just, the most beautiful colors you ever saw. Yeah, absolutely, it just took your breath away for looking at these people. Well, you know, every Christian is just like that. We're living stone. God sees that we've got light. And someday it will be evident. It's not as evident as a chapel. But it says in Malachi chapter 3, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before the Lord for those that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And the Lord says, they shall be mine when I take up my jewel. That's interesting to be thought of as a jewel. Lord, so beautiful to him. In fact, we are going to be beautiful someday. We're going to be like him. Doth not yet appear we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. You know, when I got married, my wife isn't here because I could say that. She had all the curves in the right places and all that kind of stuff. But the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. But you know, this is what it says concerning the Lord Jesus. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot, goodbye spots, or wrinkle, or any such thing. Rest in beauty, not our own. Faultless. To stand before his throne. Yes, he builds with living stone. You know, the early church made the same mistake that they did here in our chapter. They were all satisfied to stay in Jerusalem the rest of their lives. The Lord said, ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other most parts of the earth. They hadn't moved an inch
God says, I've got to scatter these people. So he sent a man by the name Saul of Tarsus, and he persecuted these people, and the Bible says they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. You know why people came to the United States? You know the pilgrims came? It was persecution that brought them here. They couldn't do things that they wanted to do for the Lord over there. They were being persecuted. And so they ran over here. God scattered them. We are the recipients of that blessing of scattering. Man's idea is concentration. God's idea is scattering. It says in Acts, they were scattered abroad. Verse 4, Acts 8. They were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. They would have still, some of them would have still been meeting in the temple. God says, 70 years in AD 70, the temple was destroyed, so they didn't have a temple to go to. And they were scattered throughout all the world. And they had synagogues here and synagogues there, and most of the early churches were started by the fact that there were some Jewish people that had been saved out of the synagogue, and they started preaching the gospel where they were. And assemblies sprang up all over the place. They were scattered abroad. There is a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, there is that which scattereth and yet increaseth. That sounds like a contradiction. There is that which scatters and yet increases. But that's the way we see. You scatter it and it increases. And there is that which withholdeth more than meat and it tendeth to poverty. He says, spread it. I remember Alfred Gibbs telling a story one time. He said he was in Africa as a young man, and Dan Crawford, who for 25 years, I think, he went into Central Africa, and all during that time, he was seeking to preach the gospel to the people in Africa, and he never saw a white face in something like 25 years. He came to Durban, South Africa. He was preaching at a missionary meeting, and during the course of his message, several times over, he made this statement, no go, no low, no go, no low. Mr. Gibbs said, I had a big bump of curiosity. So I went up to him and I said, Brother Crawford, he says, what do you mean about this no go, no low business? He said, the Lord Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And lo, I am with you always. No go, no low. He says, if you go, the Lord will give you the strength, the wisdom, power where you are. You'll have the assurance that the Lord will work with you. Man's idea is concentration. The cities today of America, and not only America, the world in general, are jungle. Man made the city. We could live independent of God. We don't need God. They forget about the fact they go to the grocery store and they get a can of beans or whatever it is. Somebody has to grow that somewhere. But only 2% of the American working people, are working on the farm now. So 98% of us can live oblivious to what's going on in the farm. But everything depends on that. God gives you all life. It's breath and all things. It's easy to forget it. These people made the mistake, and God said, I'm going to scatter because I want to save them. God is not willing it any. Shall we pray, and then we'll sing a closing. Our Father, we're thankful for the message conveyed in these words. We pray that we not be guilty of building relationships in this world, but building relationships with you and with one another. For you know, ultimately, only those who are thine, thine as a result of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross, thine because he lives now to bless all that come unto thee today. It's they and they alone that will share throughout one unending day that which he purchased for us. That's a tremendous cost itself. Help us to recognize no sense trying to use the slime of this world to get men to stick together. Thou hast provided us with the only thing that will do. Thou hast told us to love one another Thou hast told us to love our enemies, to do good to them that despitefully use you, and pray for them. We pray that we may use the real McCoy, not the cheap substitute, that manifests the use of it. We ask it, in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we sing that familiar hymn, just two verses, of number 395, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord.